Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Get Ready Show! Best in pro wrestling talk.
And that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold Jackson. This right here is the future of wrestling.
And it begins now.
Tuned in to the Ken Reedy Show, the best in pro wrestling talk. We talk everything in the world of professional wrestling, the majors, the indies. We get a little bit of everything. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, everybody, you can check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/The Ken Reedy Show right now on Facebook. We got a thread going there. If you want to talk on the thread instead of calling us, you know, that's cool. We'd love to hear from you, though, on the phone lines. 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Also on Facebook, remember, Monday nights during Monday Night Raw, we got a chat going over there on the Facebook. So come on over, check us out, like the page, and join the chat. You can also find us on Twitter, at The Ken Reedy Show, and our website, thekenreedyshow.com. You want to check out all the things going on over there on the website. And you can hear us on Ironbound 1640 on Tuesdays and check out Ironbound's website, ir1640amradio.com is their website. And as always, my tag team partner, Dave, is on the line. Dave, how are you doing this fine Sunday evening?
This fine Sunday evening, I'm doing well. Can everyone hear me? can you hear me?
I got you.
Oh, this is Sunday night. That's right. Okay, good. Yes, I'm here.
And I'm doing well. And please, everyone out there, I want phone calls. We need phone calls tonight because, first off, before I get into what I was just going to say, we have some birthdays today. Crazy. It's almost a historical day, but The Undertaker's birthday is today, so happy birthday to the dead man. Coming out a few weeks, we'll be defending his streak against CM Punk. And Dave, we got a couple other birthdays today.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have TNA wrestling star, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, turns 43 today. So happy birthday to Christopher Daniels. We had his tag team partner, Kazarian, on our 1640 AM radio show a few weeks back. If you want to check that out, you head over to thekenreedyshow.com. As well as Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger turns 31 today. Hopefully his birthday present will be delayed a little bit, because in a few weeks he's got Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. And another birthday, probably the biggest birthday of them all, Barry Horowitz. I don't know how old he is, but give yourself a pat on the back, Barry, if you're listening. Happy birthday.
We should all pat ourselves on the back in honor of Barry.
I'm doing it right now.
Same here. And speaking of, you brought up Christopher Daniels' birthday today. Interestingly enough, later on in the show, we're going to have the Greek god Papadon will be on the show, the greatest unsigned talent in professional wrestling. He's going to be participating in a Super 8 tournament coming up shortly in April, and Christopher Daniels, I believe, is the only one who's ever been a two-time champion of the Super 8, and Papadon will be seeking to be the second wrestler to win it twice, but the first ever to be a repeat champion. We're going to talk to him about that in a little bit, but getting into, we are in WrestleMania season right now. And, man, I'm going to be honest with you guys listening out there because, you know, WrestleMania season is that time of year that we're all supposed to be pumped and excited. And you know, it has this feel of just greatness in the air. And it just, I need you guys to call the show 347-838-9815. Can you get me excited? Because right now I'm having a very difficult time getting excited for WrestleMania. It's been a weird WrestleMania season. It's been a bit disjointed at times. Perhaps one of the problems is, you know, when you look at the three big matches of Punk, Taker, Triple H, Lesnar, Rock, Cena. That of the six people in those matches, four of them are part-time guys. Perhaps that's part of it. The undercard seems to kind of be a bit disjointed and thrown together, but I'm having a real difficult time getting excited this year. And Dave, you know, we talk wrestling. I mean, we really, like on this show, there are a lot of shows you can listen to out there, a lot of different, you know, podcasts, if you will, and blogs and things out there that they go on and just bashing the product, and that's what they do. And we don't do that here. We really don't. We try to present both sides of an argument, and we present the negative and the positive, and we try to look at things in a fair way. But I'm being honest, as not Ken Reedy, the show host, but as Ken Reedy, the wrestling fan. I'm excited for the weekend. I'm excited to go. I'm excited to party. Dave, you're coming down to New York. I'm excited to hang out in person. I'm sure we're going to have a good time. It's going to be a party weekend. We're going to be immersed into the world of professional wrestling. I'm excited for the Hall of Fame. I'm excited for all that. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to the weekend in and of itself. In fact, we're planning a big tailgate. We want to see you. Be sure to check out the Facebook page if you're heading out to WrestleMania. We don't know exactly where we're going to be in the parking lot, but there's going to be a big tailgate, Ken Reedy's show tailgate going on. We got our friend Pat Crowley. He's got a show on Ironbound as well. He's going to be joining us, so it's going to be a big tailgate. And I'm excited about the tailgate at WrestleMania, but man, I really want to. I'm having a really difficult time getting excited for the event itself, and that's just weird for me. It's just a different feeling I have as a fan going into WrestleMania this year. I mean, what do you think?
I do agree with you. It's pretty much, with the exception of the Raw where Triple H returned and he had the altercation with Lesnar, every other show has, and maybe the old school Raw too that they did, every other show just had, like, you know, it hasn't really felt like you're heading towards WrestleMania. Things seem to be disjointed. They're not sure what they want to do. You know, we talked about, you know, last week about the undercard not really being, you know, developed, and we're so close to WrestleMania. excuse me. And now we have, you know, we have a few undercard matches signed. We, you know, they signed the Shield against Sheamus, Randy Orton, and it was Ryback, and then Ryback got moved over to facing Mark Henry at WrestleMania. Speaking of which, let me not get off topic, but technically I will be on topic. Mark Henry possibly suffered a leg injury at last night's house show in Norfolk, Virginia against Kane. He went down, and the referees, you know, when a guy usually gets injured, they cross their arms like an X to signal for, you know, some medical attention, and they were pointing at Mark Henry's leg. At one point, Mark Henry got up and grabbed the chair and hit Kane, and then was disqualified. It seemed like, from the report I read, that it was, you know, a finish that was on the go. It could possibly hinder his match with Ryback coming up at WrestleMania. Another match that was announced was Team Hell No defending the tag team titles against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston, something that, you know, I I wasn't really too, you know, thrilled with that because I would like to have seen Ziggler in a bigger role in WrestleMania considering, you know, the year he's had. But, you know, hopefully maybe that will lead to Ziggler and Langston having the titles, and then maybe Ziggler cashes in Money in the Bank and he comes out on Raw the next night with all the gold. And, you know, maybe that's the way to really elevate him and push him and to get the casual wrestling fans to forget about him cashing in so that when he does cash in, it's a big surprise. And then there's a few other matches that have been talked about, Jericho and Fandango. I'm not really a big fan of that either, but through a source of mine in Stamford over in WWE headquarters, apparently Chris Jericho had requested to work with Fandango. And we all know that Jericho is all about trying to put over young talent. And I think this is the purpose of him being back for this short run into WrestleMania, is to help put over some young talent and build towards the future of the WWE. So, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to look forward to. I mean, I don't know. I like I said, I'm looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to the Hall of Fame, looking forward to, you know, being around a whole bunch of wrestling fans, and you know, the weekend itself is just awesome. You know, it's to me, the weekend is bigger than the actual event itself. You know, hopefully maybe the show will kick ass, you know, like when we get there on that Sunday, and you know, it's like, okay, the hype didn't really mean anything, but this show kicked ass, you know, like everything worked. So I don't know. But yeah, please call in and make us excited about WrestleMania. You can even lie. You can even lie until you heard a rumor about something that I might, and maybe I'll like it and get more excited and hope it happens. I don't know. I mean, Dank, if you're listening, maybe you can come up with another idea for a match for Undertaker and CM Punk, and it still won't get booked because you still won't get the Twitter handle that I told you I was going to get you. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, let's go through all this one by one because it was interesting that It almost seemed like the way things played out, it went from no undercard to throwing together, you know, almost the entire undercard quickly. We haven't heard that the match is on, but for all intents and purposes, and let's look for one of the things you had talked about, Jericho versus Fandango. I did like that we finally got some physicality out of Fandango. I was happy with that. Some of the stuff I saw of Fandango, you know, it's one of those things that, again, it seems like a conflict and a storyline program that's being thrown together quickly. Potentially, though, let's try and be positive about it. Potentially, Fandango and Jericho could have a very good match at WrestleMania. The story I find incredibly uninteresting. It really does nothing for me. I mean, essentially it's, you know, the storyline is, Fandango's not going to wrestle until you say his name right. Chris Jericho makes fun of his name. So Fandango gets so incensed about his name being made fun of that he comes down and beats on Chris Jericho. And there's your storyline. There's your build towards WrestleMania. So, I mean, story doesn't do too much for me. But I do think physically, potentially, this could be a decent match. I'm not going to say a show stealer, but I will say that could potentially be a decent match. One of the things you hit on, Dave, and I'm kind of curious your thoughts. Again, trying to look positive on SmackDown. I thought Big Show looked tremendous in the ring on SmackDown. I was very impressed with his in-ring work, and you and I both were at Hall of Fame induction where I believe it was Arn Anderson had said that he was talking about Big Show, and he said, "You have no idea what this guy can do in the ring. We just don't let him." And it was like one of those matches where, like, wow, like I was really impressed with what Big Show did in the ring. So Big Show, you know, it looks like he's locked into this 6-man tag match. Like they're not going to sway from this. What do you do with Ryback, who, you know, they kind of, you know, it's looking like they really want to make this guy a star. I mean, they're high on where Ryback could go. They're high on Ryback's future. What do you do with Ryback if, for some reason, Mark Henry just can't go at WrestleMania?
Well, I mean, I thought about it after I read the report earlier today, and then, you know, in our pre-show meeting. I mean, they're really playing up this story that, you know, Orton and Sheamus can't trust Big Show. Big Show can't trust them. You know, and Ryback got removed against Mark Henry. I mean, though, if Mark Henry is legitimately hurt, I mean, there's a few possibilities you could do with Ryback. I mean, if you really want to put Ryback in a position, like maybe you have Ryback wrestle on the YouTube pre-show in a battle royal, win the battle royal, and the winner of the battle royal gets either a title shot against the Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett or the United States Champion Antonio Cesaro, and then he wins the belt there. Excuse me. Or you could do a match where Ryback comes out on TV and says, you know, Mark Henry was injured, you know, but I'm still hungry for WrestleMania, you know, and then maybe he tries to get his spot back on Orton and Sheamus' team because they still can't trust Big Show. He was their original choice to face the Shield. So maybe they do Ryback and Big Show where the winner faces the Shield. Or, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know where you can go with him. There were rumors back in January that Ryback was going to wrestle Jericho at WrestleMania. So maybe Jericho will move away from Fandango and do something with Ryback. I have no idea. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. If Mark Henry comes out and he gets physical and it leads to an injury angle to get him off of TV, then we'll probably, you know, have to wait another week until what they figure out they're going to do with Ryback. Or if he gets physical and nothing really happens, then we know that his injury isn't as serious as it's been reported. There isn't even a report on what exactly he injured other than he might have hurt his leg, but they don't know the severity of it. So you'd still have to figure out what the severity of Mark Henry's injury is. And being this close to WrestleMania, that's not a good sign, obviously, for him and for the match with Ryback. If I were them, I would stick with Big Show on that team because it's kind of working. And I think what's going to happen is that Big Show will be able to be trusted all along, and this is where they're going to cement the Randy Orton heel turn. He's going to turn on them in that match, and then you go Randy Orton against Sheamus later into the spring. I would do my first idea. Ryback wins the pre-show battle royal if they decide to book that. And then he gets a shot at either of those two titles, Intercontinental or United States. And then he walks out with a championship. Because, I mean, he's due for a championship considering all the times he's been bent over, you know, by the Shield and everything else. So maybe giving him a run with the United States title, the Intercontinental title, might actually help his character.
Honestly, I kind of like that idea. And, you know, it looks like they're leading towards a Miz Wade Barrett IC championship match perhaps at WrestleMania. And to be honest with you, and wait, everyone, if you're all listening, because I'm about to say something positive about The Miz. Not really positive about The Miz. It's more about the WWE. But I think this is a good niche for Miz. I think this is a good spot for him. I think that he is a mid-carder. Him going after the IC title, I'm okay with. I'm okay with him being on that level. I never saw him as a main eventer. So I'm cool with that. I'm cool with him going after the IC title if that's where they're going towards. I kind of like your idea of doing a battle royal and then Ryback goes after the U.S. title because, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Cesaro has yet to be signed for a match at WrestleMania.
Correct, and he wasn't even on TV this past week. So maybe this is the opportunity to get him on the card. I think he deserves to be on the card because he's done a tremendous job, you know, with his character over the course of the past year and being a United States champion. So, he's wrestled Ryback before, so, I mean, there is an excuse. There is a little bit of history there, so.
Yeah, there definitely is a history there. I mean, I think it would definitely work. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see it. I mean, it's weird sometimes with Cesaro because I don't know what they're doing with him. And it's funny because he was on SmackDown this week and he lost to Miz.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
He had
I apologize.
To tap out to the figure four.
I usually fast forward through the Miz matches on my DVR, so I remember.
He tapped out pretty quickly on that figure four. So, I mean, you know, it would be good. And I thought, you know, for me, like Cesaro and Ryback, they actually have some decent in-ring chemistry there. So I would kind of like that idea of, you know, Cesaro kind of playing this arrogance card that, he, you know, no, everyone's scared of him and wrestling him at WrestleMania. And then, you know, why not? Have that battle royal, and you know, he winds up, you know, Ryback wins and goes after the U.S. title. I think that would be cool. I think that's, honestly, Dave, I think that's the best solution if they need to find something for Ryback to do if Mark Henry can't go.
Stanford, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Other things, so let's see, what else do we have on this undercard now? We talked a little bit about you know, the Ryback and the tag match situation. Go ahead, what?
The tag team championship?
Yeah, like, and that's it. I mean, I agree. I mean, you kind of touched on it earlier. For that to work, and I don't know, you know, I get building suspense, but sometimes it's just building. It just doesn't involve waiting. You got to wonder, you know, is there conflict even within the company as to what exactly to do with Ziggler? Because, you know, it's Money in the Bank thing, and we're kind of waiting for him to cash in, and he's just not cashing in, and now he's in a tag match at WrestleMania. I think it works if, and really only if, he winds up cashing in and he walks out of WrestleMania being world champ and Cole holder of the tag team championship. I think that works to really put him over as, you know, a legit, you know, bona fide main event kind of guy. But if it doesn't play itself out like that, I don't know, man. I don't know, like, what they're doing with Ziggler.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think the company doesn't want him to cash in at WrestleMania because there's a lot going on. And I think that, you know, with a lot of the part-time guys being gone shortly after WrestleMania, that they could sit, that they want to save that to have a big moment heading into the springtime, you know, to kind of keep that WrestleMania hangover, so to speak, in effect. But at the same time, no one has ever cashed in a Money in the Bank at a WrestleMania, and you would think, as a performer, as a superstar in storyline, you know, terms, if you're holding, you know, if Ken Reedy or Dave Rosenbluth are holding the Money in the Bank contract for an opportunity at the World Championship, you would want to cash in at WrestleMania on the biggest stage, you know, in front of everybody, and win the championship on the biggest show of the year and possibly the biggest, you know, and possibly the main event. I mean, I remember a few years back when Mr. Kennedy, who's Mr. Anderson now in the Aces and Eights and TNA, when he won the Money in the Bank in 2007 at WrestleMania 23, he proclaimed he was going to cash it in the following year at WrestleMania, to the point where the WWE even had a countdown clock on WWE.com with his picture on it and the WrestleMania 24 logo counting down the days, the minutes, and the seconds that he was going to cash in the Money in the Bank contract. Unfortunately, he was sidelined with an injury. They had to write him off of TV, and then Edge got the Money in the Bank contract, and he cashed in on Undertaker. But, I mean, that's something I would like to see, is that a cash in at a WrestleMania. It would make for a pretty cool WrestleMania moment. But because they have Triple H and Brock Lesnar, CM Punk and The Undertaker, John Cena and The Rock, and some big things are probably going to come out of those matches, I think that they don't want a Money in the Bank cash in to take away from that. I brought up an idea a few weeks back to some friends of mine. Originally I would have put Dolph Ziggler against Chris Jericho, because they still have a long-standing history with each other, and they've never gotten physically involved with each other since Jericho's gotten back, with the exception of inside the Royal Rumble match. I would have had Swagger and Del Rio open up WrestleMania. Bell rings. AJ's music hits. He comes skipping down the ring. All of a sudden, Big E Langston comes up from under the ring out of nowhere, attacks Del Rio. Then from under the ring. Ziggler shows up, attacks Swagger, knocks him out. Del Rio gets fucking, excuse my language, I'm sorry, gets zigzagged by Ziggler. Ziggler wins the title. The match, this would be the first time a Money in the Bank holder cashed in during an actual match that he wasn't even involved in. Then Booker T's the GM. He comes out. He says, all right, it's official. You're the new champion, but the first world title match never really happened, so you're going to defend the title against those two guys, plus the guy you're advertised to face, Chris Jericho, in a fatal four-way. And you could really set the tone for the beginning of WrestleMania. It's like, wow, all this happened in like the first 10 minutes? What's the show going to be like? You know, people who are watching on pay-per-view will probably call their friends and be like, Ziggler just cashed in. You didn't order WrestleMania. You better order it right now. You know, like, that's where I would have gone with it, instead of putting Ziggler in a tag team match.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's weird, because it seems like one of those things that was, you know, thrown in out of nowhere. And I don't doubt, like, it should be a decent match. But at times it just seems like, you know, they just don't know what exactly they're doing with Ziggler. And it's just odd to me that a guy that, I mean, they put the, you know, you would think they gave him the Money in the Bank briefcase, that they would just know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, maybe they do. You know, maybe they do, and we're 100% wrong as far as what we're inferring. But it just seems a little bit disjointed right now. And, you know, we really, you know, they're getting a tag title match. Now, I get it. I know it's wrestling, and I know that it's, you know, storyline and everything. But it's, you know, why do they get a tag title match? You know, we haven't really seen Big E in a match. He's gotten physical. But, you know, and then on SmackDown, and it was a good match. And I really do. I enjoy seeing Kofi and Dolph Ziggler go. I mean, I think they have good chemistry in the ring. They're both incredibly athletic. But there's, you know, it gets to a point where there's no reason to see it. I mean, Ziggler just goes over on Kofi every time they wrestle. So it's like, I don't know. It's, again, just feeling disjointed about the whole thing. So I don't really know what to make of it. You know, do they come out of the tag match champions? Do we see Hell No explode? I don't know. But again, you know, it might be a very entertaining match. And you have, you know, guys in that ring. I mean, Big E is kind of a wild card. But, you know, the other three in the match, you know that those guys, you know, can perform. It may be an incredible match. But going into it, I'm not real excited about it. So it's just, again, I keep saying it, but it's just an interesting frame of mind to be in going into WrestleMania. I mean, aside from, like, the big matches, and it is funny, you said, like, a few weeks ago when you looked at, you know, where we started this real run to WrestleMania season. I mean, like, Dave, as a wrestling fan, how excited were you coming out of CM Punk versus Cena on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, it's very excited. I mean, to be honest with you, I was so excited that if, you know, the rumors at the time were that Undertaker was, you know, before that match, before that Monday Night Raw, you know, the picture surfaced of the Undertaker returning to a house show, teaming with Sheamus, and, you know, before that, there was doubt that he was going to even be there. And then when the match happened with CM Punk and John Cena, I mean, it was huge. It was a great match. It was probably their, I would go on record to say it was probably their best match that they've had, you know, in the series of matches that they were involved in. You know, and I rate that match that they had at Money in the Bank 2011 as being their best match. But, you know, that Raw match kind of, you know, went over it. But I was kind of hoping that Punk and Cena would be, you know, involved. You know, Punk would be involved in the title picture with Cena and Rock if Undertaker wasn't available for WrestleMania. And especially after that match, I was like, damn, that's like, I was like, wow, like, you got to put Punk in there with those two. I was like, you got to. But Undertaker came back. We're on a different road with those two now. So I mean, I was very excited after the match, you know, after that show, and then with Triple H returning and everything. But then it just kind of went, and I was just like, where's the interest? Like, At one point, Sheamus had a problem with the Shield. On like one episode of Raw, Sheamus had a problem with the Shield, and at the same time, he was getting involved in stuff with Wade Barrett. It's like they didn't know. It's like they're not sure what to do. I mean, I've heard rumors that Vince had been really like temperamental to be around lately with creative meetings and stuff. He's kind of playing the buffer with the creative team and Vince, and he's second guessing his own ideas and, you know, the ideas of the creative team. So from what I understand, it's been, with the exception of a few matches, everything else in the card has been touch and go as far as where they want to go. And it's translated on television. And to this fan, it's just like there's no excitement there.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I was so pumped, like, coming out of that that match. And the I mean, I remember on the thread on the Facebook when you know, that match, and when you had the Triple H Brock Lesnar confrontation, and it was an accident. I mean, and that's the weird thing also, going into WrestleMania, like when you really think about, you know, and again, rest in peace, Paul Bearer, but the juice, the meat and potatoes of CM Punk Undertaker right now, they've used Paul Bearer's death, okay? The intensity that was built, at least in the beginning, with Lesnar and Triple H and that confrontation, was the blood, which was an accident. So it's interesting that two of the things that kind of they've used going into WrestleMania kind of happened by chance. I know we were going nuts on the Facebook when Lesnar was busted open. You know, and that kind of gave that storyline you know, a lot of juice. Let's get into that a little bit. I mean, you have Lesnar and Triple H. Again, that storyline, you know, it's, we get it. But it's weird, and I get it. You know, Shawn Michaels was kind of part-timer, but, you know, he was more active than Triple H. You know, and he had his retirement match. He's putting his career on the line. You know, Triple H, it was almost, he kind of hinted at retirement after Lesnar broke his arm. After then not wrestling, all of a sudden his career's on the line. Like, that to me is, I don't know, it doesn't have as much oomph as I think maybe they thought it would. I still think this should be a hard-hitting brawl, but, you know, Dave, what do you think of the stipulation with those guys and, you know, what it'll mean for this match at WrestleMania?
Well, I mean, the stipulation being no holds barred, you know, you're going to see, like you said, like a hard-hitting brawl between the two, and it makes sense. You know, the career stipulation is there to put a shred of doubt in most fans' minds that Triple H will lose this match because, in my opinion, you know, I think you would agree, most fans think he's going to beat Brock Lesnar. You know, he's going to get his revenge because Brock Lesnar broke his arm twice and he, you know, humiliated him at SummerSlam. So the career stipulation is that. I think there needs to be more layers added onto this, in my opinion. I think that there needs to be some better explanation. You know, is his wrestling career on the line? Is his job as the COO on the line? What does Heyman get out of this? What does Lesnar, you know, get out of all this? I read a report this morning that apparently there's talk of there was a video that came out of Stephanie McMahon like training like boxing in a gym, and it might lead to her possibly getting involved with Paul Heyman at WrestleMania. I've heard possibilities of Vince getting involved. I've even heard possibilities of. They talked about Shawn Michaels possibly being in his corner, but the newest one is that they want to get friends and even some family members in attendance for this match to really, like, hype and put it over the top that, you know, this could be the last match Triple H. You know, obviously, you know, you've heard rumors of Kevin Nash and X-Pac, the New Age Outlaws possibly being there. Shawn Michaels might even be there. So they really want to hit it home that this, I mean, there was an interview done at WWE.com with both Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels talking about Triple H's, you know, his career being on the line in this match. So they're really trying to, I think what they're going to do in the next, you know, 2 weeks is really hit it home that this could be the end of Triple H, which to some viewers, it might put a shred of doubt in their mind that Triple H will walk away from this match and win. So I think that's what's going to be the real focus of all of this. Is his wrestling career on the line? Is his job as in the company as a COO, the chief operating officer, on the line? I think there needs to be more to be explained in order for me as a viewer to have some emotional investment into the stipulation in the storyline. The match itself, I'll be excited to see because, you know, that one incident on Raw when they beat the crap out of each other and Lesnar was bleeding, that sold me right there. They're like, okay, good. They're gonna kill each other at WrestleMania. It should be great. So that's we gotta wait and see till tomorrow night.
You said it. You know, we're going to take a quick break right now, quick commercial break, and we're still waiting to hear from Papa Dom. But while we are waiting, we're going to go right out to the phone. So here we go. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going right out to the phone, 347-838-9815. It's a number to call. You are calling in to get us excited about WrestleMania. Can you do it? We'll be back after this.
The word is spreading. More and more people are switching to Ambit Energy.
Well, one of my neighbors switched, and then I switched. Now the whole neighborhood has Ambit.
Who doesn't want to save money?
The word is spreading. Switching to Ambit Energy is rewarding in more ways than one.
I signed up and got a travel award. That's nice.
Oh, I get to save on energy and on travel?
There's a cruise for two out there just a few thousand kilowatts away. I can almost smell the sunscreen.
The word is spreading. Ambit Energy even lets you earn free energy.
When I get 15 friends to switch, I get free energy. I have 15 friends. At least I think I do.
Hey, I'd be telling people to switch to Ambit anyway.
If you'd like to switch to Ambit Energy, listen to the following contact information closely. Then spread the word.
Joe Miller is an Ambit Energy Independent Consultant. If you want to upgrade or be a consultant, visit his website, Mainline. That's MAINLINE, mainline.joinambit.com. That's mainline.joinambit.com. Ambit is available in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., Illinois, Texas, and California. So be sure to go and check out Ambit Energy, and we're going to go right out to the phones at this time, and we're going to check out our man. Tony is on the line. Tony, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Here I am.
So can you do it, Tony? Can you get us excited about WrestleMania?
Tell the truth, I can't even get myself excited.
Come on, that's what your job is. You need to get us excited.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, I don't know, it's, I mean, WWE has been known for the, you know, like the Bills have been, you know, they've been known for their lack of build to the show, but usually the shows are good. But I mean, I don't know. I hate to be a downer, but you know, it's, I did hear that might actually rain in towards like the evening of the show.
Awesome! That's great.
So yeah, this WrestleMania, I mean, you know, I really hate to be like a negative about it, but you know, it's just like they really haven't, like you said, they haven't really done anything to make this feel like a big, you know, like this is the biggest show of the year or whatever. They really haven't. I mean, for me, they haven't done it, you know, because I mean, I'm sure Triple H and Brock Lesnar will be really good, but you know, that's where the plunder will be. But you know, like Taker can't do too much. So what if Triple H and Brock is going to be like the big brawl? What are you going to do with Undertaker and CM Punk? You know, because
it's a good question. I mean, where do you go with that match? Let me ask that. I mean, and again, I'm excited. I think Dave's excited. We're excited for the weekend, and no doubt, you know, come Monday morning, even Tuesday morning, because we're going to the Raw on that Monday night. You know, we're going to come out of it with, you know, that very happy wrestling hangover where we're just, you know, we're enjoyed the weekend. And I'm psyched for the package. I'm psyched like for the weekend of events as a wrestling fan. You know, again, and it's funny how things have evolved, and maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe Brock Lesnar getting opened up got everyone so excited, because it really kind of added an element of danger, of intensity to the rivalry that it was already intense. And I've always liked Triple H and his ability to bring that intensity to the fold. But, you know, when Brock Lesnar got opened up, that kind of added a lot. So maybe by that accident, all they could, you know, the only way they could go was down as far as the intensity there. You know, I am looking forward to seeing what these two guys can do. I agree with you. When you look at The Undertaker, you do wonder, as a fan, you know, what can he do? Are they putting him with Punk because Punk can carry him? You hear all these reports throughout the year of him being banged up, being injured. You know, what Undertaker are we going to get going into WrestleMania? And I think for a lot of fans, that's, you know, almost the biggest suspense feeling is that. Like, what are we going to get out of Taker? Is there a match right now? I mean, now we have some undercard matches. Is there a match right now, Tony, that you're looking forward to more than anything?
I don't know. I mean, not really. There isn't really anything that's kind of like just big, you know, it's like, oh, man, you know, it's like, I guess Triple H and Lesnar, just because of the, you know, I guess that's how this, you know, it's like the best build out of everything, you know, because, I mean, I was going to say like Ryback and Mark Henry, but I hope Mark Henry isn't injured, you know, because that would, you know, because I got to say, I was looking forward to actually seeing that match. I hope they can still go ahead with that one.
You're right, man. I mean, you bring up a good point. I actually, you know, out of all the stuff this week, and we are, you know, unfortunately, this show has taken a bit of a negative spin, but I was kind of psyched. I enjoyed their confrontation. I kind of liked, you know, Ryback in the clothesline. I liked just seeing those two, they didn't have to do anything, just those two behemoths kind of staring each other down. I kind of liked that. I'm going to be disappointed if that match doesn't happen.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will be. I mean, you know, it's because even before the match was, you know, like officially made last week, there had been talk of like putting Mark Henry with the Shield and Ryback teaming up with Big Show, Sheamus, and Randy Orton and doing an 8-man possibly. I mean, I don't know. I hope that they don't do that just because if Mark Henry's injured, you know, because you know I really don't think the Shield needs. They don't need anyone else. You know, just you know, like. Just them as a threesome is good, as far as you know, like that, I really hope that should be good. That match, even the 6-man should be good too. And I think you were saying, you know, I didn't think of it, but yeah, the Orton heel turn might come into play there against when that happens. Even Dave, I remember the idea you were just saying about what you would have done with Dolph. I remember you were telling me about that. You wrote me a couple weeks ago. We were chatting about that. And
yeah.
I think that would be a damn good way to open the show.
It brings that unpredictability factor like last year. Like, people crap on it, but I thought that was great with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan with the 18 seconds. I mean, I jumped out of my seat and I was like, wow, that's how you start WrestleMania. I can't wait how the rest of the show is going to be like. And I was serious. Like, you know, I think that'd be something that, you know, could really get, you know, people to, you know, it would set a tone for the unpredictability factor and anything can happen factor, you know, for WrestleMania, and maybe bring some excitement to it that they haven't brought in the past 5 weeks already.
Oh, man.
Jesus. And I agree. I mean, that would be something cool. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, so many people crapped on it, and I loved the open last year. I thought it was tremendous. And anyone who thought, like, how could they do this to Daniel Bryan? Daniel Bryan has had the biggest year of his career. So, you know, the talented guys can take something like that and turn it into a positive. And Daniel Bryan has had a great year in professional wrestling. So, I mean, I kind of liked it, and I agree with you. I think when you sit down and the card is starting and you almost have this, to me at least, when you start a wrestling event or a WrestleMania or whatever it is and you're there live, there's almost this sense of complacency when you start. It's the opening bout. You know, it's not going to be a big deal. Nothing big's going to happen. The show's just starting. And when you do something like that, it totally, like, snaps the audience into focus. And even if you hated it last year, it still snapped you into focus. It's still, if you hated what they did last year in that open, you still jumped out of your seat and were like, crap, what are they doing to Daniel Bryan? So
that was my reaction.
Well, there you go. So it still kind of has that, whether you liked it or you hated it, it still evoked a visceral reaction and really engaged you in the show, in the product immediately. And it would be good if they did something to that effect, you know, in this year, because like we keep saying, there has not been a lot of a setup this year. Tony, thank you so much for giving us a call this week. Hopefully we'll talk to you Tuesday, and if you guys don't know, you should know, the best blogger, bar none, in the business. Tony is our blogger. Go to thekenreedyshow.com. Check out his Raw, SmackDown, and Impact blogs each and every week. Tony, thanks a lot for the call. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, I'll be calling on Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
All right.
You know, Dave, speaking of Tuesday, you know, we have a bit of a special announcement like coming in. Starting WrestleMania weekend, because of the resounding success. You know, when we're heard, we're good. We really are. You know, sometimes it might take a little bit, but when we're heard on the Ironbound, we're good. And Kazarian joined us on the AM side of things. We had Big Vito on the AM side of things. So starting off WrestleMania week, we've been upped. We're going to be going to 90 minutes. So 90 minutes starting WrestleMania week. So that'll be a fun way to kick off WrestleMania, even though it's Tuesday. We'll be kicking off our WrestleMania week with we'll be kicking off, I guess Sunday would be kicking it off. So kick it off here on Sunday for 2 hours, and we'll give you 90 minutes on Tuesday right after. We're the ones you want to listen to on Tuesday. Right after, on the Tuesday, right after the last Raw before WrestleMania, you want to get all the Raw reaction on Tuesday on Ironbound Radio, IR1640AMRadio.com. So, exciting, Dave, 90 minutes.
90 minutes, yes. Hopefully I'll be on for all of them. But no, it's great.
For more than you've been.
I'm sorry?
You'll be on for more than you've been.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Wow.
Now is actually to be on for 60. But we'll be scheduled for 90, so
yes.
Should be a good time. And we're going to go right back out to the phones because we have one Mr. Trivia from the top rope. Mr. Trivia, are you there?
Yes, guys, I'm here.
How you doing? What do you got for us this week?
Well, I heard, first of all, I just want to say listening to Diamond Dave Rosenbluth is one of the reasons, other than you, Ken, is one of the reasons why your show is such a success. Dave, you have got the most innovative, unbelievable takes on wrestling I've ever seen from anybody that I've known in years. And your opening for the WrestleMania, I mean, that would just like blow the doors off of this year's WrestleMania. But my take on the things is, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I understand that I've heard rumors to the fact that Del Rio is going to beat, I mean, Swagger's going to beat Del Rio, and then Ziggler's going to cash in and beat Swagger to win the title. Now they've got Ziggler against Big E Langston. So obviously if Ziggler cashes in and wins, I don't think they're still going to have that match because, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't hold two titles in the WWE, correct?
That's not true at all. They've got around so many loopholes. I can name plenty of guys that held two titles. D'Lo Brown held the European and the Intercontinental Championship. So did Kurt Angle. Stone Cold and Triple H were once the tag team champions, and they both held the Intercontinental and the WWE Championship, respectively. There's been plenty of instances where guys can hold titles, multiple championships.
I think they dragged that out if they suit some storyline-wise, because they did that with The Warrior. When he had the IC
Hogan,
title,
right?
And he beat Hogan, he had the IC and the WWF championship. And I seem to remember like Gorilla Monsoon saying, you can't hold two titles at the same time here, so the Warriors being forced to give up the Intercontinental Championship, something to that effect.
That was when they had three titles. Now they have 33 titles. So, I mean,
I think they could always bust that out again if they wanted to facilitate storylines like Dave put out there so eloquently, by the way, Dave. that, yeah, multiple people had two titles at one time.
I also heard that the WWE has offered Maryse, Kelly Kelly, and Beth Phoenix matches at WrestleMania, and I also heard that they did not decline the offer. Do you see them possibly participating in a match at WrestleMania?
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that this morning. It's been going on for weeks that they've been trying to rebuild the Divas division. I heard that they didn't decline the offer. I mean, I don't know what's true and what's not. They could pull a rabbit out of the hat and surprise us all. The rumor I heard is that they were there was talk of doing a past versus present Divas match, some sort of tag match at WrestleMania, and somehow Trish Stratus, who was being inducted into the Hall of Fame that weekend, was going to be involved. I think she was going to be either refereeing or managing the past Divas. I don't know. It's possible. But if they're going to do it, they better get on it tomorrow night because we're 2 weeks away. Then again, they could announce it the night of WrestleMania on the YouTube show and nobody will care because about 40,000 people are going to leave during that match to go get a T-shirt or a goddamn hot dog or something, just like they do during all the Diva matches. So, I mean, I could see it. I could see it happening, but it's this wrestling fan, with all due respect to the women out there and women wrestlers, it's not my cup of tea. You know, you're hot, but I'm not interested in the athleticism or lack thereof of the women in the WWE.
Right. I agree there. And, you know, they might actually have a Divas. If they do that, they might actually have a Divas match that goes longer than 3 minutes. And Dave,
Well, the other thing too about having a Divas match, like why do they schedule a Divas match on WrestleMania? Do they expect 70,000 people to want to take a nap? Like, I don't get it. But yeah,
well,
go
especially
ahead.
We're talking like there's been no build for like the other matches. I mean, there's been absolutely no build for this. I mean, and there's been no build over the past how many years when it comes to the Diva division. I mean, they've done nothing. Look, if we're going back and we're in, you know, in the era when Trish was popular and Lita was popular and they were going to, you know, they're looking to do something big with the Divas at WrestleMania, all right, you know, maybe I'm going to be into it. Maybe I'm going to be a little bit excited. They have crapped on the Diva division for years. They have made it uninteresting. So giving them a spot at WrestleMania, they've almost, you know, I mean, unless that's the point, you know, let's throw in a Divas match. If the fans are going to get up to go grab a beer or buy a T-shirt or go to the bathroom, well, let's provide a Diva match so they don't get up during the matches we want the fans to see. But they've done everything they could to just annihilate this division and just make the women eye candy. So if you're going to do that, yeah, I mean, with all due respect to ladies, and over the years we've had very talented females that have been very entertaining to watch, but this WWE right now, a Diva match holds no interest for me either.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one other quick thing, guys. Dave and Ken, I know that you guys have discussed that there's a really good possibility of a Randy Orton heel turn at WrestleMania. I was reading on one of the websites this past week about a possibility of Kofi Kingston as a heel turn. Do you guys see that happening?
I heard that, and I had heard that actually a while ago, and it never happened, and I'm hearing it again now. I personally, I love it. I would love to see – I think Kofi's a real talented guy, and, you know, I remember back to that and it was kind of short-lived, but the program he had with Randy Orton – and him, like, busting up Randy Orton's car and the intensity he provided. You know, his shtick is stale. I would like to see what Kofi could do as a heel. I'd like to see how exactly they would tweak his character. It's rare that I don't enjoy a Kofi Kingston match. The guy's entertaining in the ring. Do I see him as a WWE champion? Absolutely not. But I enjoy his matches. He's a consistent worker. The guy gets a tremendous amount of height anytime he's coming off that top rope. I mean, he just doesn't, you know, I mean, he leaps. He gets a good, like, it seems like a good 4 or 5 feet on top of, like, you know, above the top ring rope. I would like to see what he could do, whether it happens or not, whether it's a rumor they're floating out there to see what fans think. Who knows? But as far as myself, I would like to see what he could do as a heel. What do you think, Dave?
I do agree. I'd like to see a heel turn too. Here's the thing that stops me from continuing that is the fact that he's so flashy and flies around, and he gets such a great reaction for all the moves that he does, that he's got to change his in-ring style if he's going to be a heel. Because let's face it, if he's going to still do come out and go boom, 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 and jump off the top rope and get a big pop, it's not going to work because the people are going to react in a positive way. He's got, I mean, obviously he'll probably change up the boom and he won't fly around as much, but he's still going to use some of the stuff in his repertoire that he knows in order to, you know, in order to formulate a match with a guy. So, like, he would have to work a different style. If anything, like, if he were to turn heel, like, maybe a manager, like, get somebody as a mouthpiece for him, somebody to draw some heat on him, or maybe even a tag team partner, have him tag up with somebody and form a heel tag team. He, like I said, he gets such a strong reaction when he jumps off that top rope and does all the crazy stuff that he does that it's hard not to hard to dislike the guy because you're awed and you're entertained by what he does, you know, with his high flying maneuvers. So it would have to be like a complete overhaul for him, and I don't know if he could do that on his own.
Yeah, that's one good possibility, too. All right, guys, I understand, too, that I heard Dank mention something before about the possibility he'd like to see Undertaker, CM Punk in a Buried Alive match. That would be interesting, but I think I'd like to see Undertaker, CM Punk in a casket match. See how that would play out because they're, you know, because of the things that are going on with that and Paul Bearer. And, guys, on that note, I'll hang up and listen to your response. And thank you for supporting the Top Rope Report. And don't forget to have everybody celebrity.com, www.drinkcelebrity.com. Go to like the page. Also, we love the Ken Reedy Show. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon. There, Mr. Trivia on the line with us. Yeah, Celebrity. We talked about to be Brian Blair. That's his tea product. So, yeah, head over to Facebook and just like it. It's Celebra. So, like you're saying celebrity, but it's Celebra and then tea as in the drink tea. C-E-L-E-B-R-I, then T-E-A. Celebra tea.
This is a spelling Ken Reedy Show. Is this a spelling bee or the Ken Reedy Show?
Celebra tea. So, yeah, go check that out. That's B. Brian Blair. So, we're definitely going to get B. Brian Blair back on again. That was a lot of fun having him on. So, we're going to get him back on real soon. But for now, you know, we're a couple minutes early, but we have some phones in the bank. So, why don't we'll go to the news right now, and then we'll go right back out to your phone calls. Again, 347-838-9815 is the number to call. Without further ado, you hear it here. Each and every week, the 50-50 Day 5 News Report. Take it away, Dave.
Thank you very much, Ken. This is the Day 5 News Report, only heard here on the Ken Reedy Show every Sunday night at the top of the hour. Our first story this week, Figure 4 Wrestling Online is reporting that there is major concern over the status of Rey Mysterio within the WWE. With the latest injury sidelining Mysterio up till possibly June, rumors have circulated that there's a good chance that Mysterio may be working in conjunction with the company to ask for his release. However, the holdup is believed to be that WWE wants the rights to use his name in future merchandise projects. Amidst all these rumors, some within the company hope to have Mysterio back by June, but not on a full-time basis. This week, WWE released longtime referee Jack Doan. Doan had worked with the company since 1991, starting out on the ring crew to eventually being one of the top referees in the WWE. There was no reason given as to why Jack Doan was released. And I reported recently that Diamond Dallas Page was raising money for donations to help Scott Hall, who is living with him currently in Atlanta for their accountability crib, to receive a hip replacement, as well as other medical-related issues. Well, I'm happy to report that on Monday, the goal of $80,000 has been reached, and Scott Hall will receive his hip replacement very soon. Current TNA Knockouts champ, Velvet Sky, and former Knockouts champion, Angelina Love, have been cast in a superhero movie called Foe and Orchid, Little Deaths. Also, former Knockout Rosita will be starring in a horror film called Army of the Damned. No details on when production begins on those two respective projects. And in our final story this week, in some rather strange news and maybe amusing to some, former WWE Intercontinental Champion and Women's Champion Chyna has publicly announced that she will be leaving the pornographic films industry for good after her latest film, She-Hulk Triple X. She will be moving to Japan to become, of all things, an English language teacher to Japanese students. Folks, check it out.
That just sounds like a setup to a porn movie.
What is it like? Are they like trying to do like a Godzilla porn or something? I don't know. That's almost as amusing as finding out that Sonny is sober. Wait, that's never happened. Okay. Season 9 of The Gun Show. Check it out, YouTube/Steve Off. I forgot what I was going to say. NWA on Fire, Friday nights on MeTV at 11 p.m. The man's name on the marquee is Ken Reedy, but you can check him out with Ray Ray Mars every Friday night, NWA on Fire. And don't forget, The Ken Reedy Show, 6 p.m., Tuesday nights, Ironbound Radio. Check it out, IR1640AMRadio.com. Starting April 2nd, we're going to go 90 minutes. Check it out. And there you have it. That was the Day 5 News Report, only heard here on The Ken Reedy Show. Ken, back to you.
Yeah, so many things. You know, it's cool being part of NWA on Fire. And we got, we got some shows coming up. We got shows in Pennsylvania coming up April 5th, actually. So many things going on around WrestleMania weekend. We're in Pennsylvania on April 5th. And April 6th, we're in Dover, New Jersey. El Leon Apollo is one of the big stars, is going to be returning. So you want tickets to any of those events, you know, go to NWAonfire.com. Check that out to get your tickets. It's amazing, like, being a part of the NWA. And interestingly enough, and, you know, we can digress and talk a little NWA wrestling, because we have a brand new champion in the NWA. Rob Conway is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Interesting thought. Now, everyone out there, if you didn't hear, I mean, Dave, I'm sure you heard the story this week. We posted the story on our website. Chris Masters, former WWE star, got a phone call that his mother had essentially been, I guess, kidnapped. This crazy neighbor barricaded himself in his mother's house with Chris Masters' mother and was threatening to kill her and himself by setting the house on fire, which he, in fact, did. Set the house on fire. Chris Masters gets wind that his mom is in danger, runs over to the house, rips a tree out of the ground, throws it through a window, and drags his mom to safety. Are you kidding me? If they put that in the movie, people would say that is so ridiculously unrealistic. But you know what they say, truth is stranger than fiction. And the reason why I'm bringing this story up, even though it happened a few days ago, Chris Masters, before all this, before Conway won the title, Chris Masters was scheduled to wrestle Rob Conway in a former WWE Stars match at the Parade of Champions, the NWA Parade of Champions, in Houston, in NWA Houston. My thought, in throwing it out there, speculation, if you're the NWA, now I thought Conway was a good choice, and I'm not saying he's not a good choice, but the NWA could use a little shot in the ass, a little publicity. how huge would it be for the NWA and Chris Masters if, you know, after all this, former WWE star saves his mom's life, hero, you know, being reported on TMZ and all the other news outlets. Well, I mean, I had people who are not wrestling fans who are contacting me and saying, did you hear about this former wrestler? So it's everywhere that after all this, he goes in and winds up winning the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know, and I feel bad. It's one of those things where, like, you know, it could wind up being, you know, wrong place, wrong time for a Rob Conway, because, again, I liked the choice initially, but do you consider this quickly putting the strap on a Chris Masters, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you know, why not? I mean, it could publicity for the NWA. I mean, you know, if you know, they are associated and their champion is, you know, this hero for saving his mother's life. I mean, it's more publicity for them, more people to watch your show every Friday night. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why not. And no disrespect intended to Rob Conway. You know, he's a great choice to be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, but I think from a public relations standpoint and to get more eyeballs on the television screen, it would help having Chris Masters, you know, be the NWA World Champion or just even be a part of the company itself, you know, to be a part of the organization and, you know, be a focal point in storylines and give, you know, your show and the company you work for, you know, a shot in the ass, like you said.
I mean, it's funny because you never know what's going to happen because, you know, all the talk about, you know, we talked a lot about on this show, you know, you want The Rock with the belt because when he does his talk show circuit, he'll have the WWE title with him. And that wound up not being the case. So go figure. But, you know, when you think about a story like this and what Chris Masters did, it opens it up for, you know, there might be some media outlets, you know, wanting to bring him on, wanting to talk about the story, you know. Now, granted, the Parade of Champions is a month away. So, I mean, that kind of, you know, news turns over pretty quickly. But, you know, it couldn't hurt the NWA if some of these talk shows want to bring him on as, you know, talk about the story of him saving his mother's life. It can't hurt the NWA for him to, yeah, I'm also the NWA World Heavyweight Champion right now. So, again, and it's funny because I almost feel bad saying it because I did really like Conway as a choice, but, you know, business is business, and, you know, it could potentially help the NWA out a lot. And it's interesting because this match was signed before Conway even had the title. The NWA released a press release this week, and they said that they're just going to go ahead with the match as scheduled. So even though it was not a title match, the match was supposed to be just those two guys going at it. Because Conway has the belt now, that is going to be a championship match. So it should be interesting to see where exactly they go, how long Conway's run winds up being. But interesting to see a guy like Chris Masters, who you know, had an okay run. Not a great run, but a decent run in the WWE, now finds himself in the news as a hero and potentially has got a shot. Well, definitely has a shot and potentially could be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. We'll keep you posted and see what happens there. But right now, last night, there was an interesting event. And it's cool when you see companies starting to work together for the greater good. But we had the BWO, who have been great friends of ours. ROH invaded the BWO, and every match of that event, including our friend Steve Off, my broadcast partner Ray Ray Mars, involved. It was one guy from the BWO and one guy from ROH. That's how that event played itself out. So right now we have Mr. Bob Arian on the line. He's going to let us know how exactly the event went last night. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, Ken. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, first, letting you know we're setting history on your show, because I'm probably the first one calling you from about 4,000 feet in the air. I'm on a helicopter heading to Langley, Virginia. We're over Maryland right now, and then later I'll be jetting off to Area 51. So I'm just trying to make you famous.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't think we've had anyone call from a helicopter. You be careful out there. You know, I've heard some weird things happen out there at Area 51.
Don't worry about it. I got everything under control. I save the world every day, one day at a time. But getting to last night's show, yes, it was a wonderful show, BWOROH show from the Ashes at Bettner, New Jersey, right outside of Atlantic City. It was a community fundraiser, and we had well over 300 people pack the place, a lot of them young kids who actually had a great time. I believe BWO has started a war with ROH. Basically, what happened was we had the building booked about a year ago. ROH wants to run there, and they can't get in the building without our permission. And we basically told them, no, it's our building. So I guess whatever happened, challenges were issued. So now we had some ROH wrestlers come in. And I'll get right to the chase here. ROH's Grizzly Redwood beat Ray Ray Mars. Ray, the spoiled brat he is, ranted and cried he would not leave the ring. He stayed in there and created such a scene. Section 8, the BWO president, went to ask him to leave. When Ray refused to leave, he went to hit Section 8. Now, you know, Section 8's a war veteran. He's not going to let anybody hit him. So he basically choked him out and had the police remove him for trespassing. So Ray Ray Mars was arrested last night. So I don't know where he is right now. You may have lost your broadcast partner unless you hear from him. I have no idea. Okay. Next, we have ROH's Delirious beat Freecha in an exciting match. Okay, that had everybody standing on their feet. It was all over the place. Let's see, the next event, main event, your guy there, Ken, Tristan Law. Tristan Law went against Red Titus to keep the BWO title. But again, cheating involved. Titus went for the top rope suplex, and Tony held Tristan's leg, so Titus fell back in the ring, and Tristan caught him with a flying headbutt. So again, Ken, you know, what kind of people are you supporting here? Again, Steve Orff retains the USA Championship by beating Joe Gacy. Joe jumped Steve after the bell. I went in to stop him. He backed off. When I went to check on Steve, Joe kicked me in the head. Another classy guy that they're having around here. And then, tag team championship change. The LNF Express, Tommy Face, and Ricky Landell defeated the East Coast Players to win the BWO tag team. I'm not a fan of Tommy Face, but I'm going to tell you something. This tag team, they look good together, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the BWO. Finally, we welcome back the sign guy, Mike Ferrara. So, Dave, you may be off the hook. And, you know, he probably likes you again. He managed magic, but the most brutal part of the show was when Tony Scott beat him with his cane, possibly breaking his arm or causing severe arm damage to him. Another classy guy that Ken loves and supports. Okay?
I'm so happy, Bob, that Mike Ferrara's good graces now. Thank you for letting me know that. From a helicopter, by the way.
He told me to tell you that he forgives you for everything he said or you said to him, and I still don't know where he's coming from, but he says he's going to let you continue to do the Day 5 report. And so I have to give you that message. One more shout out.
You can continue this phone call in a helicopter.
Well, I'm trying. They're not too happy about it, so I got to make it really quick, and I'm just going to do a quick shout-out. Steve Orff is going to be in Richfield Park, New Jersey, Knights of Columbus, this Friday night, and it's going to be with the East Coast Professional Wrestling, ECPW, okay? And then BWO, again, April 20th, back in Nutley, New Jersey. Check the website, bodyslam.com, for updates on that.
Very cool. Thanks for calling in and give us the update.
I'm getting a lot of dirty looks from the pilot here because he told me I couldn't make this call.
Well, we appreciate you calling and let us know. You know, it doesn't sound like it's over between the BWO and ROH, so look forward to seeing what happens in the future, you guys.
Okay. You guys stay safe. I'll talk to you eventually.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, amazing. Bob on his way to Area 51. Sounds like it was kind of a cool event. You know, it's neat seeing the two companies kind of going at it, rival factions, if you will. And, you know, Tommy Face and Landell, Ricky Landell winning the titles. You know, Ricky Landell is a guy who he won, you know what, I'm forgetting the exact year, but he won the Cauliflower Alley Club's Future Legends Award. So he's definitely a guy with a lot of talent. Interesting to see how this new tag team champions goes moving forward. Exciting time, so good stuff. And, you know, what better way to follow up that call from a helicopter than we will actually go right out to the phones, because we got Mike Ferrara on the line. Mike, are you there?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How are you doing? So you got hit with the cane last night?
Hit with the cane? Let me tell you something. The biggest pop of the night was when I got hit with the cane. I think everybody in Moz heard it last night.
Well, how are you feeling? I mean, did they break anything? Is it a bad bruise, or what do you got?
I can honestly tell you I can't even lift it today. I went to the hospital after Magic and I tried to go to the buffet, but for some reason they closed. I don't understand how do they close the buffet when they see a big fat guy like Magic, like my buddy, go there, because they know we're going to spend money, and they close it down. I don't know. I still want to find that out, but the buffet in Atlantic City closes so early. But anyway,
maybe because they knew it was going to go out of business if you guys showed up.
It's a good point.
I was definitely hungry after what happened. But anyway, as Bob was telling you the story, Magic had asked me to come back, and I surprised everybody last night by showing up, because I've had enough of Tony Schaaf. And then there was a whole thing with the whole thing with you guys disrespecting me. The reason why I was upset, and I'll get to it, is because Tony Schaaf is a big enemy of mine, and everybody knows it. I mean, he's been picking on me, doing these stupid things. But last night, the problem I'm having is that he's got that stupid cane, and Section 8, who I like him, well, I mean, and he came over to me, fine guy, you're right, after I can't even move, I'm telling him to get the cane away from him, and the cane's still in the guy's hand. The guy's a parasite. He shouldn't be walking around with a cane, obviously. I mean, and then his man Mike Tapp won because, Tony Schaaf grabs Magic's leg, and then they don't see that Cap gives a low blow, and that's how that whole thing unfolded. It was a terrible situation. And then all night I had Bob Arian come up to me trying to make amends with me and trying to be my friend again. And I told him, Bob, I like you. I told him I never stopped liking you, you know. He said, oh, how come you weren't at the last show? And I told him, you know, Bob, I had things I had to take care of. I was getting myself right. And then all of a sudden the lights go out and creepy things going on back there. I wonder what the heck goes on with Bob Arian's head. I get nervous.
You know, you got to have eyes in the back of your head when it comes to those guys. But
well, you know, and I'll say this, though. Mike Kapp reminds me of Dolph Ziggler. The problem is he's an arrogant jerk, and he's got no talent. That's all. I'll just say it that way. I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. He reminds you of Dolph Ziggler, but he's an arrogant jerk, and he has no talent?
That's right. He's got no talent. He's a jerk.
Well, anyway, what part of it reminds you of Dolph Ziggler, then?
Because he dyed his hair. Because Cap
dyed
his hair or something.
Because of his hair. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, come on. I mean, I shaved my head. I'm not Goldberg, thank God. I shaved my head. I'm not Ryback, thank God. And people don't go around telling me, feed me more. I mean,
apparently you wanted to be fed more at the buffet Saturday night, but they were closed.
I was trying. We were trying to get there, Dave. It was crazy. And you know, it was just one of those things. But I was happy to be back at BWO, but under those circumstances, I mean, I posted a picture of on Facebook of my arm. I mean, it was. And then and you know what's funny? I heard fans chant, beat him with the cane. That's another thing I heard. Beat him with the cane. I'm Michael, thanks a lot. I was grateful that Tony didn't get a hold of Ray Ray Morris's guitar and beat me with it. So that was quite a night. I had quite a night with all the comings and goings. I actually got to see some of my old friends. Not that they came out to help me. Nobody helped me. That's another thing. Nobody even helped me up. I had to help myself up. But you know what? I'm regrouping.
You have no friends.
No, I don't. Actually, you know what? That's not true because I have a good friend, and I was watching his back last night, and I will continue to be, you know, I will continue to be that. I will continue to be a VWO, and I will continue to make a stand on this.
So does that mean you're back on? You're going to be back on a regular basis now. You're going to be in, going down there in Magic's corner for the foreseeable future.
Of course, can I? You know, I've been with Magic since 2008, and nothing's going to stop me. And that's the way it is. I love the guys at VWO, and they love me. And that's the way it should be. You know, it's a one hand wash the other. And I'm going to continue to do what I know how to do. I know how to entertain, and I also know how to fight. I mean, but Tony Scott wants to fight with a king. It's time for me, I guess, to go back into my old repertoire, and it's time for me to be a little dirty at myself. So maybe I won't be with the VWO in the near future. It's so changed.
I don't know. Maybe we need to have like you versus Tony Scoff with like the cane like hanging, like a cane match. You know, the first person to get to the cane gets to use it.
Well, I got something to tell you. Last night I stole somebody's cane. To tell you the truth.
You stole someone's cane?
Yes.
I hope it wasn't some senior citizen using the slot machine.
Your life just gets better and better as you keep telling this story.
So to be truthful with you, I did steal the cane because you know what? I need some protection. But who knows if they're gonna let me bring it to the next show? I can highly doubt it. Everything's going Tony Scott's way. Tony Scott was so happy when he hit me with that cane. And then the best is I go into the back and some fan that's walking around in the back area says, "Are you okay, sir? Your arm's hanging down." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'm fine. I just got hit with a cane, and all is right with the world." It was like, ring my bell. What happened to the sign guy? You know. And then Magic was so concerned about me, and I'm concerned about him. And then Cap's out there at intermission telling everybody how he beat Magic and where. And then I pick up a chair, and Bob Arian comes over to me and tells me to put the chair down. Because Tony came over to me again with his cane, and I had to defend myself. But they don't want me to defend myself. They just want people like Tony to go around with canes and beat him up.
It's a good thing I didn't go to the VWO show, because I got the whole recap.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, Mike, it's heal up. Hope the arm gets better, and look forward to seeing you at a BWO event in the future.
Hey, you know what? You know what? On this last note, and it's got something to do with something else, which is with TNA. I was thinking about this because I haven't been able to call you guys. I've been working and busy and stuff.
I thought you were boycotting.
The boycott. Like I said, is over. The boycott is a done deal. It's something you know, Dave, I always liked you and always respect you. Ken, I always liked you and always respect you. The boycott, like I said, how would Rowdy Piper feel if you had Hulk Hogan on and let Hulk Hogan run his mouth or vice versa? He wouldn't have liked it. It's something I had to deal with, you know. Bob Arian, obviously, he's been teaching me the hard way, and I kind of learned. But what I was going to say about TNA is I think they should turn Brooke heel. I think they should have Bubba Ray versus Hulk Hogan and do like what they did with Vince McMahon and have Brooke slap Hogan in the face.
That's a great idea, Mike, because I've never heard that one before.
Well, you know what? I think it might happen.
You might be right.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would love to see it as a wrestling fan. And as you know, I'm not really big on TNA, but lately I've been watching TNA, and it's going crazy. But anyway, guys, I thank you for my time. We will definitely talk again. And yes, the sign guy is back with BWO as always, and I'm going to continue my fight to get better.
Very cool. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to stick with the phones because we got some. Let's go right here. Our daily affirmation with Justin. Are you there?
Hi, Ken.
Hey, Justin. How are you?
Oh, just hunky dory.
You're hunky dory today.
Oh yeah.
Let me ask you something, because we're trying and we're not real pumped. Are you excited for WrestleMania?
Oh yes, I am.
Yeah, that's good. I like hearing that. What are you excited the most about for WrestleMania?
Because I love the Divas.
See, oh, you like the Divas. Well, there we go. Because we were a little critical a little while ago about the Divas, but you're looking forward to seeing the Divas.
Oh yeah, whoopee.
which Diva do you like the best?
I like Cool.
Layla?
Oh, yeah, the Lake Cool, yeah. And the WWE.
Flashback. Who else? What do you think of the new champion, Caitlyn?
Oh, she's good.
She's good? You like her?
Oh, yeah, man. Like a pencil sharpener.
I don't even know what that means, but I that was funny. Like a pencil sharpener.
Oh,
so, you know, aside from a Divas match, we have Trish Stratus, who is going into the Hall of Fame this year. What do you think of Trish Stratus?
I hope she enjoys the Hall of Fame.
Do you think she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, she is.
Good for you. You got anything you want to tell Dave before we let you off the line there, Justin?
Sure, why not? You know what, Dave? You should be a wrestler, and so is Ken. You should defend yourself.
You know what? Like I said, me and Ken will be a tag. Last week we'll be a tag team, and you could be our manager. How's that sound?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know that.
Justin, thanks a lot for the call. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, Ken. Stay cool.
Take it easy, buddy.
Okay.
I love it because no matter what, it's a smile on my face every time Justin calls. So good call.
That's a whole daily affirmation, though, because you know we got one from Mr. Trivia earlier. I mean, I did more than you, but he did mention you in the same sentence.
Yes,
and now we got one from Justin too. So you know,
it's a feel good show. It's a feel good moment of radio.
Yep. Before we go any further, did Mike Ferrara record that phone call in like a racquetball court? Because all I kept hearing was like echoes.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I wasn't getting an echo, but our producer said that there was an echo coming through. So, you know, it's always an entertaining call from him. Not the easiest guy to cut off, though. So we went for a little while with the echo. I don't know. Maybe he was still in Atlantic City in like the bathroom of the buffet.
He was making up for time for all the boycotting he did, so I guess that's why he went on so long. Which
yes.
We love, by the way, Mike, in all seriousness. So
yes,
please,
we love it's very stream of consciousness, which is awesome. Like, you just don't know where it's going to go and in what direction. But it's cool he's back with BWO on a regular basis. But I did see the picture, and it was a decent welt that he had on his arm from the cane. So that couldn't have been pleasant because it was a real cane. So. Hope that arm feels better. We're going to stick with the phones. We're going to go. Actually, right now, I am looking on the phone, and after reports of hearing that he was arrested, quickly, let's get a statement. Ray, what happened? You were arrested? Are we still broadcasting together? What's going on?
Listen, last night at the BWO ROH Invasion show, I had a little—I guess you can call it a run-in with the good old Ventnor City Police Department. Now, I'll just kind of give you the lowdown on that at the moment. I don't exactly know what I did to constitute me getting arrested. Basically, how it went down was Grizzly Redwood, who I said I would defeat at the end of your show on Tuesday, came up with the biggest fluke victory of his career. I had him pretty much where I wanted them, except for me missing my trademark moonsault, which is becoming a bad luck move. Like, he can't seem to hit it anymore these days. And 3 seconds later, apparently, he pinned me. And, of course, this didn't really sit well with me. And all I asked was that he come back out, we give me 5 more minutes, and then I can prove that I had him right where I needed him and that I could beat him. I turn around, and there's Section 8 standing in the ring telling me to get out and poking his finger in my chest, telling me to leave the ring, as if he knows who he was talking to. And, you know, people said I tried to throw a punch at him. All I remember was being choked unconscious by Section 8. And the last thing I remember hearing him say before I lost consciousness and was apparently dragged to the back by the Ventnor City Police Department was, oh, you can cover if you like, do whatever. And I don't know, next thing I know, this is a bad night for Ray Ray Marsh.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is just, you know, I've had my issues with BWO management. This is just another example of that. I mean, I really don't know what gave Section 8 the opinion that he could put his hands on me in the way that he did. I mean, I have to go back and review the footage to see if I actually attempted to throw a punch. The details are somewhat sketchy. It's been a long 24 hours. I'm sure you can understand. But this, of course, on the heels of NWA on Fire broadcasting this past Friday night, my misfortunes from the week before, my little incident with the fan and the con man putting one over on me, that whole 9 yards, this has not been a good couple of days.
So where are you? I mean, is this your one phone call? Or are you still in jail? Have you made bail?
Let's put it this way. Right now I'm stuck in traffic on the way back from where I spent my night. I don't think they know that I've left yet, but it's all right. I have people for this sort of thing that I could call upon to take care of this situation. We've got the poll that Ray Mars does. When you are pro wrestling's favorite Rockstar Revolution, you can do these things.
Well, good luck on your escape. I'm glad you're out. As you continue to try and get on the right path, where can fans see you in action in the next few weeks?
Next few weeks, let's see. April the 6th, night before WrestleMania, I'll be wrestling for FWF in Sterling, New Jersey. I will then be flying out a week after that to Las Vegas for the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. Anybody that happens to be, if anybody is listening from Vegas, I'm sure there could be running a show at the Gold Coast Casino where we will be staying. They did last year, hoping to be on the card again this year. April the 20th, I will be wrestling up in Buffalo, New York. I still have to find out exactly what's going on with that. I'm going to that show with Mr. Nunzio. April 27th, Bricktown, New Jersey for FWF. And, of course, that will lead us back to Parsippany, New Jersey, where I can try to redeem my the last embarrassing episode I had at NWA on Fire.
Well, you're keeping busy. Good luck on getting things back on track, and look forward to being back in the studio with you.
Yes, indeed. And we have our little short little interview Tuesday, if you decide to take my call. Don't forget about that.
That's right, yes. You'll be interviewing me, so good luck. Looking forward to that. Getting the tides will be turned a bit on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot for the call, Ray. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, yeah, Ray wants to turn things around, and I guess I'm getting interviewed on Tuesday. So let's see what happens. Whatever, we'll try anything once. Let's stick with the phones. We got Dank on the line. Dank, we've been all over the place tonight. A little TNA, a lot of WrestleMania, some NWA, the indie scene. Whatever you want to talk about, bring it on. What do you got for us?
Well, first off, I was really happy to hear about the Chris Masters incident, because it seems like media nowadays is very quick to jump on the negative of the world, and you don't hear stories like that, especially with celebrities where they do heroic stuff that, you know, people are usually you know, on drugs, getting arrested at DUI. And here you have a former WWE wrestler saving his mom, which makes you have a little bit more faith in humanity, which is always good to hear. So that was definitely a positive note for this week. Having said that, how do we foresee the company coming out of what I personally would think was the worst Raw I have seen in years? How do they salvage it and get back on track for WrestleMania? Because if they do what they did this past Monday, they may as well just start thinking of scrapping it. You know what I mean? It's just like, obviously they're not going to scrap it, but to fall so flat in the middle of a season, like in the middle of WrestleMania season, is just, like, I don't know, it's unprecedented as far as I know. What do you guys, like, how would you guys go about saving the big slide from last Monday?
I don't, you know, it's an interesting thing. Can you imagine, like, Raw starts off on Monday and Vince comes out and says, yeah, we're just canceling WrestleMania. It's just bad. So we're just sorry, but it's a no-go this year. There was enough negativity, and we talked a lot on Tuesday about Raw. We dissected a little bit tonight. It was a bad show, and there have been bad Raws in the past. What compounded it being a bad show was the fact that it's in the midst of, and really, crunch time going into WrestleMania. It's no secret that it's a bad show. For me, and trying to play the optimist card and saying, well, maybe the glass, could it be half full instead of half empty? You hear a mixed bag. You go around, you tool around on the internet, you listen to critics and fans, and you hear what people think. And most of the time, you hear a mixed bag. Some people loved certain things, some people hated certain things, and that's generally, when you tool around and look at enough stuff, you'll find enough people that think something really worked and something that didn't. This is one of those few shows that I couldn't find many positive things around the internet about, you know, reviewing that show. So being the optimist, my thoughts are maybe hearing that everyone thought it was terrible will prompt the powers that be and creative and Vince McMahon and everyone else to really crack that proverbial whip and say, you know, you cannot put on another show like that again. That's me being optimistic, I'm hoping. But it is. I mean, it's a show that, you know, we go every week, and every week we have our thread on the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheKenReedyShow. And then after the thread's over, I kind of post, grade Raw. And to me, like, you know, maybe if this Raw happened at some other time, it would have been, you know, a D or a C-. But being in the WrestleMania season, I gave it an F. Because that's when, you know, this is the season where, you know, you need to kind of bring it. And it really was a flat Raw. So I'm just hoping that it was a major speed bump, but a bump in the road. And hopefully creative kind of cracks the rip. We are going to see The Rock tomorrow night. It should be interesting to, I'm kind of curious, honestly, going into tomorrow night, what the reaction to The Rock is going to be. Now, he's wildly popular. He's, you know, definitely a bona fide face. He's a fan favorite. The crowd usually loves him. Getting a lot of criticism. He's been a part-timer. He's gotten criticism for that. But this week, not mentioning the WWE or anything on his talk shows that he was appearing on. Granted, it was for G.I. Joe, but still, I think most wrestling fans would have liked to have heard that he made mention of. I'm curious. Would not be surprised if tomorrow night at least we hear a spattering of booze in the crowd, but The Rock being there should amp things up a bit. We should see another confrontation between him and Cena. Where do they go with that? You can only go up, because I agree. I thought last week's show was just horrific. Your thoughts, Dave?
I mean, what else can I say that I didn't say on Tuesday and what you've just said now? I mean, you said crunch time, WrestleMania season. They got to do it. Like, you know, they can't have another episode tomorrow night like they did last week, and I don't think they will.
What was
okay.
that? Are you there, Dank? Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. I
was playing. We playing MTV Jock Jam, so I'm trying to answer your goddamn question.
What was that?
I was plugging in my iPod because I need it for tomorrow, and I forgot that it automatically presses play when you put it on the bass, and it just started blaring.
Oh,
helicopter
on,
ride, basketball room. Now we got an iPod going off. We got somebody escaping jail. What the hell is this show coming to?
Jesus. Bag tonight. Right. But Dave, you were saying, so how do they move forward? How do they move in a positive direction tomorrow night?
All right, first off, like I said, they need to add some layers to Triple H and Lesnar and how this is going to go. Obviously, they got to have some sort of interaction with The Rock and John Cena. And you know what? Like I said, I loved that video package last week, but if I see that same one again, I'm going to break my TV. All right? What are they going to do with Undertaker and CM Punk? Tony brought up a good point. Undertaker really can't have a regular match. He's going to have something to hide, you know, his lack of, you know, ability, so to speak, you know, wrestling skill-wise. You know, he's been in, like, no-holds-barred matches the past few years. So they're going to have to come up with something for that. And then put some more build into the mid-card. You know, some more into the tag match. And, you know, maybe we'll find out what happens with Mark Henry in the Ryback situation. And the Shield, and maybe we'll announce a few more matches. I don't know, but it certainly cannot be like last week. I'll tell you right now, if it was like last week, good thing I purchased the new Bret the Hitman Hart DVD, because I'll be watching some of that instead of Monday Night Raw. Honest to God, I don't want to watch another episode like last week was. It was so boring and flat, and you know, 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, and you want me to get excited after I just paid over $1,000 to go to WrestleMania? Please.
Is it just me? It seems like every year now, they're trying to find a way to get Triple H in WrestleMania. The past 2 years, it was...
They're not really trying. He kind of runs the company, so he can just do whatever he wants. excuse me.
It just seems like it's the how can I, as Triple H, get myself a match in WrestleMania this year?
Well,
he managed to sell us twice with Undertaker. Now he's selling us with Brock. What's next year? You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, to a certain extent, I think, and that's the problem, and hopefully they correct it to a certain extent. And I get it. It's WrestleMania and you know, Showcase of the Immortals, and you need stars and you want star power, and I get all that. However, I think the WWE kind of continues to paint themselves into a corner by having too many part-time guys trying to cram them into WrestleMania. And you know, you do bring up a good point. And, you know, I think this rivalry has some intensity, and there is definitely some history. But, yeah, when you have these guys that aren't wrestling all year and then the biggest, you know, show of the year, you're kind of bringing them back. I mean, you know, you know, it's always like kind of, you know, people draw the comparison to WrestleMania to like the Super Bowl. Well, a guy who like, you know, didn't play on a team all year does not get to all of a sudden come in and start in the Super Bowl. You know, you're not going to get a quarterback that didn't play the entire season that is going to get to quarterback a Super Bowl team, you know, and that's essentially what the WWE kind of tries to do. Like WrestleMania comes around and we talked about it before, like in this, there are six guys involved in three of the big matches going into WrestleMania. Four out of the six guys are part-time players. That's tough. So you do, like, you find yourself in everywhere. I mean, I think to a certain extent, I mean, you know, Paul Bearer passed away, and they're using that as part of the storyline, and the streak is always hanging over everyone's head. But to a certain extent, to me, they do the same thing with The Undertaker. It's like, it's around WrestleMania. How are we going to kind of finagle this and you know, work Taker into WrestleMania? In the last 4 years, I mean, they made it work pretty well. But this year, to me, you know, as much as I think it's a good opponent, and what Punk has done over the course of this year makes you think, ooh, would Punk be the guy to break the streak? But it was thrown together pretty last minute. So I think they got to kind of get away. Like, you want to bring the Taker back part-time? You know, if he wants to go next year, I mean, I know he's banged up. We'll see what we get out of him this year. But then Taker should be your part-time guy. You have a part-time WWE champion, you have a part-time Undertaker, and then you got two part-time guys in the Triple H Lesnar match. I think right there, going forward, I think that would probably fix a little bit of that problem. They just, all right, you know, we have, if Taker's the guy and he's going to be the part-time guy that's going to get a main event slot at WrestleMania, cool. But maybe they need to back off of the other part-time guys. Because I don't know about you, Dank, but when they made it like a career match, I didn't feel like it had that much of an oomph. It wasn't that dramatic because he hasn't really been wrestling. So it's like, okay.
More excited, and this had nothing to do with the fact that I knew by then, I already knew I was going to WrestleMania last year, but I got more excited when Triple H wanted a Hell in a Cell match last year. And it wasn't a career match, it wasn't a retirement match, it was a Hell in a Cell, and I got a whole lot more happy that they were going to have a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania than, and the, even the way that well, what the hell's his name? Paul announced it. He was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's going to be a match. And it's like, okay, raise your hand if you did not see this one coming. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, I think the match itself should be interesting, but it's real difficult, like, creating dramatic storylines with this many part-time players. Dank, thanks for the call. We'll talk to you very soon. Have a good night, man.
Bye.
We're going to stick with the phones. We got a couple more. We want to get to everyone. So this guy's been on hold for better part of an hour. So, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Who is this?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, how you doing tonight? What do you got for us?
I want to talk about this whole Rock thing. My name is Rock. You see, the WWE knew his schedule before he came back for all of this. So they knew he was not going to be able to be on Raw all the time and everything. And I hear everybody complain about it. That's what I don't understand, why WWE should take the blame for this, not the Fox. Everybody complained about the Rock. But I feel like the WWE talked about so bad because what they should have done, I don't know if you into the UFC, but you know when they have a pay-per-view, they have, like, the UFC prime times where they have the people training and they talk about the fight and whatever. To me, that's what they should have done with The Rock. No, he's not going to be there. Have him talk about the actual match at Mania or have him or just show him training. See, well, I'm not there on Raw. You see, I'm in a gym training. I'm getting ready for this big match I have against Cena at Mania. To me, if they would have did that, you wouldn't have as much hate on The Rock. You could sell it as, okay, I want to get ready for this match.
I think, Jonathan, you bring up two great points, and I would agree with you on your first point. Yeah, the WWE had to know Rock's schedule, so if any criticism is going to be thrown out there, the criticism should probably be more towards the WWE and less towards The Rock. We didn't talk about that, and we didn't come up with it. And we, you know, I think that's a tremendous idea, especially if you follow The Rock on Twitter. That guy is always posting pictures of himself in the gym, working out, lifting weights. I think it's 100%. If he's not going to be there, why not? Why not? Even all he has to do is give one line and say, you know, I'm not at Raw because I'm focused. I am training. This is the biggest match of my career, and have a montage of him lifting weights. And Jonathan, I think that is one of the best ideas I've heard, and it's pretty simple, and you know, but I think it's great. That would have made for, rather than just doing via satellite like they've done in the past, why not have a special correspondent? We caught up with The Rock at the gym preparing for his match at John Cena. Do you have a couple words? You know, I'm sorry I can't be there tonight because I'm just focused on my training. I think that's a great idea. What do you think, Dave?
I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, you know, most fans do know that he's going to be gone. And, you know, like Jonathan said, they still complain about it. But You know, that would have been a great idea to add the importance to the match. I mean, it's been billed as like redemption versus greatness, you know, and The Rock being greatness and John Cena looking for that redemption. And the importance of the match was really sold well in the video package that they've shown for the past 2 weeks. But, you know, even if they, you know, and I said it last week, I said they really didn't need to add any more layers to it. But, you know, now that Jonathan brought this point up, it would have been a great, you know, opportunity for them to film, you know, have a camera crew film him, you know, training in the gym, you know, preparing for this match at Cena. I mean, I know they did some of that stuff last year, but, you know, it would have really showed the import, because it doesn't seem to me that, like, The Rock's character is showing how important this match is to have it with John Cena. It's more or less John Cena showing how important it is to beat The Rock. It doesn't come off to me like The Rock is, like, you know, concerned or shows the audience how important it is to have this match against John Cena again. So it would, that stuff like that would have helped. That was a great idea.
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks a lot for the call. We're kind of up against it. We want to get to, you know, get everyone who's in the bank. But great idea, and I hope to hear from you again.
No doubt.
Take it easy. I love, that would have been perfect. Even last week, you know, the last couple weeks with The Rock not being there, I mean, why not? Like, have him training. Can't be there. So focused. And like you're saying, put more importance on, you know, like The Rock's character having this match so important to him. You know, there's no way I'm beating him twice. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm in the gym. I'm staying focused. I can't let there be any distractions. You know, that sort of vibe. It would have given, because we see it from Cena's side and the importance of him getting this rematch and winning the rematch. But you're right, the Rock side of things, we're not getting it, and that would have helped. I think that was a tremendous idea from Jonathan. And we're going to go back out to the phones. Caller, are you there? Got a 201. Caller, are you there? Going once. Going twice. Sorry. All right, you know what it's time for.
The Ken Reedy Show, Nod of Approval.
And we've reached the portion of our program where we talk about something in the world of wrestling that we just sat back, we nodded to ourselves and said, yeah, that worked. And we got a few minutes to discuss this because we were in agreement this week, and a lot of times, you know, Dave and I will have our pre-show meeting, and we'll talk, and we're like, hey, you know, what do you have? And let's try and come up with two different ones. And both of us were so on board with this week's nod. We're like, you know what? This week we're going to agree on the nod. And again, and I've said it before, you know, the past couple shows, and I'm going to say it again. I am floored, flabbergasted, if you will, that during WrestleMania season, that I am more engaged and invested in Impact Wrestling right now than any storylines that the WWE are throwing at me. But specifically, because you don't see it often where everything is kind of laid out and explained to you, both of us, our nod of approval goes to TNA, Impact Wrestling, Bully Ray, everyone who was involved in coming up with the video montage, the Aces and Eights explanation that ran throughout Impact on Thursday. There were some inconsistencies in the storytelling that people thought of when Bully Ray wound up being the leader. It was explained. I'm sure that stuff wasn't initially planned out, but they did a good job at having it all make sense. We had a plan A and a plan B. They had to go to a plan B. And we talked here on the show that, you know, sometimes in the motorcycle club culture, you know, for the betterment of the club, sometimes you got to take an ass kicking. And they actually used that in the explanation. I thought it was brilliant. And look, they may crap the bed going forward, but I am very excited to see where exactly this Ace and Eights group is going to go. And our nod, both, we're giving it to that video package. Dave, expound the virtues on TNA and Ace and Eights.
I don't know if I can, considering you just basically said everything I wanted to say, but be that as it may, I'm in total agreement with you. I thought it was good, and I liked how they paced it out throughout the whole show. Throughout the whole show, there were little videos here and there, and fully explaining how this whole thing started, and, you know, so at times when us as viewers, and I'll admit it, were, you know, we saw, you know, gaps in that storyline and stalling in that storyline, they made up for it in the explanation. And it, to a certain degree, it made some sense. I do like the, you know, I got a good thing to say about it. I think it was just a good way, and, you know, to explain the whole thing. And, you know, because they probably knew, and they, you know, that you know, people would complain and come up with ways as to figure out why it doesn't make sense, but they made sense of it. And, you know, I hope that they go forward with it. And, you know, before, I always thought to myself, like, you know, the guys in the group, you know, before Bully Ray was the leader, with the exception of D-Von, the guys in the group were just, you know, with all due respect, you know, they weren't very popular names. But now with Bully at the helm, and even with D-Von by his side, you know, they got these, you know, younger, newer guys that can get the rub from them and that can, you know, help build their careers by having this Aces and Eights thing. It's, you know, it's I'm not saying it's like the hottest storyline in wrestling, but it will definitely help these guys out in the time that they decide to get rid of the Aces and Eights storyline in the group, and then they section these guys off and have them do their own thing, depending on how well they perform in the storyline. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the interaction it's got with Sting, even AJ Styles, who seems to have been popped up in the TNA and into this storyline as of late. So, I really look forward to seeing where it's going to go.
And I like the way they used AJ Styles in the Ace and Eights. That it was tied in, but it wasn't, you know, it was Mike Tenay looking for an explanation from AJ. It was James Storm looking for an explanation. And then it was Taz coming in saying, hey, you know, you can be a prospect. So they've used Ace and Eights to kind of infiltrate the whole show to help facilitate other storylines. But to me, it's not totally beating you over the head yet with it. So I just loved what they did. And again, you know, that whole thing with wrestling, like when it's great, it's, you know, a show ends and you're looking forward to the following week to see, you know, how they follow up or where the storyline goes from there. And that's how I feel right now. Am I 100% convinced that, you know, they'll hit the nail on the head every time with this? No. But right now, I'm kind of excited about it, and I'm excited what they're going to do next week. I'm excited with Bully Ray as the leader and the TNA heavyweight champion. So, to me, I mean, honestly, right now, there's not enough positive things I can say about where they're going with this. So, I'm kind of excited. So, for both of us, the video explanation of the Ace and Eights takeover gets our nod of approval.
The Ken Reedy Show, nod of approval.
Now, I should give a secondary nod of approval because I keep thinking of it, but I really like Jonathan's idea. And it's funny because I follow The Rock on Twitter, and yeah, I mean, every couple of days there's another picture of him working out. So and he's always just absolutely jacked in the gym, but it just totally would have worked for them to kind of use that and kind of make a gym montage or even just a gym interview to help with him just not being there. So secondary nod to Jonathan for his workout idea. Interesting show tonight. We had some WrestleMania, a little TNA, some NWA thrown in there in the mix. We had some BWO and ROH. Mixed bag tonight. Tremendous show. Thank you, caller. Call tremendous tonight. Dave, what a wacky group we have following us.
I know. Between someone getting arrested, someone in a helicopter, someone plugging in his iPod and scaring the crap out of me, and somebody making a phone call, you know, from a racquetball court, sounds like it was echoing. You know, yeah, we got ourselves a wild bunch on our hands.
But, you know, that's what makes the show go. We love all our wacky callers, and that's the fun of the show. You never know where we're going to go. So thank you so much for supporting us. We'll be on Ironbound Radio, God willing, on Tuesday. So check us out at 6 o'clock. And then remember, a week from Tuesday, we'll expand to 90 minutes on Ironbound, the best in pro wrestling talk. And as always, we'll be back next week here on KenReedyShow.com doing what we love to do. And we're getting real close to WrestleMania, so all of us collectively, cross your fingers, send good thoughts out to the WWE, because we are really hoping that tomorrow night's Raw Redemption. That's what we're calling tomorrow night, Raw Redemption. Hoping it's a lot better, because we're all excited. We're big wrestling fans. We love this time of year. And, you know, speaking for Dave, yeah, we're looking forward to WrestleMania. So hopefully tomorrow night it comes through for Dave. I am Ken. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Take care, everybody.